So welcome everybody. Today is Tuesday, the 25th of March, 2025, and it is our great delight to have Nancy C with us today. So Nancy has been in OA for 24 years. She has 2 years abstinence. She is originally from Washington, DC, but she now lives in Michigan. So and has 40 years experience in other also in other fellowships. So Nancy, the next 30 minutes are over to you. Look forward to hearing your story.
Hey, thank you, Alan. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for having me here. My name's Nancy. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater living in Ann Arbor, Michigan this morning. And it's a beautiful day, but it's cold and I want spring. We had a tease of 70 degree weather a week ago, and it's not nice being in Winter Coast. But hey, that's not, I'm not here to be the weatherman today, right? But I could be because I never have to be right if I'm the weatherman, right? As Alan said, I have a little over 2 years of entire abstinence, and I am grateful every day to God for giving me that gift because it is a gift every day I wake up. I am a unrecovered compulsive overeater, and I need to tap into a higher power that I choose to call God and ask for the help from him as well as from all of my fellows to stay abstinent a day at a time. And I have a barky dog that I've got to get out. So if you would excuse me for just 1 second, let me tell you that I'd like to invite God into this room with us today and have him be with us and let me give a nugget to one person. And that's all I need to do today to carry the message is one person hears one thing that I have to say that makes sense to them. I've done my job. I am a relapser. I have been in the OA rooms for 14 years, and I never even understood that I had an allergy for the first 9 years of that journey in OA. I was in meetings that told me to keep coming back. It was okay if I ate that. You know, it was progress, not perfection. Today, I definitely know that it's spiritual progress, not spiritual perfection. That I need to do to maintain my abstinence on a daily basis. But I lived in the rooms, and the only thing that I did do right is I never left, which is God's grace, to keep me at least be ready to be willing when I was ready to hear the message. So, what a little bit about me. I grew up in a Catholic family of six. I was in the middle, so I was always bannered around thinking I wasn't getting what I needed. And food was my ease and comfort. It always made me feel better. When I got picked on, I was a chubby kid all my life. And when I would get picked on or made fun of, food made me feel better. I knew that it would make me be bigger, but I didn't care because it made me feel, it gave me that ease and comfort that got me through to the next hour or the next afternoon or the next day. And I could make it through a day. And that carried through me all through my high school, college years, that food and alcohol, I took a hard left with my disease because my drinking of my sugar got me into where I needed to be in total oblivion much quicker. So I have been 40 years in AA and again, never really truly worked the steps until I found Big Book Recovery in 2020. But by the grace of God, I haven't picked up a drink or drug since 1984 either. When I finally got to, I had arrived like Bill had, right? My life was just a motor, motoring towards success. I was very blessed with growing up in an affluent community, having everything at my disposal, but it was never enough for me. I always wanted more. I was an overachiever. When I got accolades, I wanted more. There was always somebody who had something that I wanted. You know, this is the disease of more. I had to have more, and I had to have all of the air in the room. If anybody else got any type of accolades that wasn't me, I would just roll right over you and make sure that I was going to steal your thunder and take the limelight. And I was very successful in my career. I ended my career. Well, I got fired from my career finally, but I was all around the world. I was published. I was known. I was very respected as being a new, as a woman, a pioneer woman in my industry, which was dominated by men. And I had arrived, right? And I had a secret. I hid and I ate and I drank anytime I could because I just had no clue what I was doing. And if anybody found out that I didn't know what I was doing, I would be dead. So I worked harder and I was louder and more verbose and having to be more accomplished to be able to make sure nobody knew who I was. I managed myself by walking around an office and walking around international offices by knowing where every candy dish was in my office. People was like, "Oh, it's a vice president that walks around and checks in on everyone." Nah, I knew who had what candy and what donuts and where to go all day long. And finally, I bitched so bad about people not treating me right and everybody else being responsible for my screw ups that I was given a nice exit package. Thank God I got a beautiful severance package, but I was escorted from my job. And it took me 2 years to be able to say in these programs, I was fired. I lost my job at age 55, and I was devastated because being that accomplished person, right? That was my whole life. My relationship outside was didn't exist because I traveled all over the place, so I really didn't have one except for my family. So I didn't know what to do. I had no place to go, and I was desolate. And somebody suggested that I go to OA. And I've been in AA for a while, but hadn't been going to meetings. I was really a dry drunk, to be honest. And I was like, there's a 12-step program for eating. I don't have an eating problem. I just have a people problem. But I got myself to an OA meeting and I did the proverbial you walk in and nobody's there and you're like, yes. I get ready to walk out and somebody showed up and 12-stepped me and told me to find a nutritionist, get a meal plan. And so I did. And I got a meal plan that didn't include sugar in the top five ingredients. And, I had never been one to monitor my weight. My mother always did it growing up, and then I was the extreme. Either you eat tons or you eat nothing. You know, I didn't know a calorie from a carburetor. It just didn't exist to me. So when somebody gave me something and said, "This is how you should eat," I was like, you know, if I eat like this, I'm going to be the size of a barn. But the weight started coming off me and I started exercising like crazy. And I proved to that company that I could live without them, that I could be happy without being in that company and traveling all over the place and being so important. And the weight started just falling off of me. And in a year, I lost 65 pounds and the accolades were everywhere. Oh, you're so happy and you're having so much fun. And isn't this great? And then that got old, right? People stopped saying that to me. And I was like, what happened? So I started to taste a little bit here and a little bit there because nobody would notice. People, you know, I had arrived. Everyone had known that I lost all this weight and I was doing great. And pretty soon, 8 years later, and 65 pounds back on this body, I was desolate. I didn't know what to do. So somebody led me to a very strong phone meeting, a vision for you. And I dialed into that and I heard for the first time, and how long had I had been in OA, that I had an allergy and that I was allergic to certain things. So I got with another nutritionist and got sugar out of my body and worked with a sponsor who, for me, I needed a very strong sponsor who would just kind of be like Hitler and tell me exactly what to do, when to do it, and where to report. And it worked really well for me. And I got recovered within 2 months. And life was just fantastic. I couldn't believe how I had missed out on life and that I really understood that I was so powerless over food and that my life was unmanageable. I was like, yeah, no, I can't handle food. But that was the part that I stuck to, right? The food part. I still really kind of thought that I could manage my life. And the prejudices that, you know, God took care of me for food, but, or God took care of the big things, but I still needed to take care of the small things were still in the back of my mind, you know. And it says in the big book that we have to let go of those prejudices or it will kill us. So I spent 2 years in my initial recovery of working the steps and then working the room. I became Miss, I'm talking everywhere and I'm giving service all over the place and I'm sponsoring. And then sponsees are annoying me. God, they're calling with questions and I don't have time because I have other things to do. I got so into managing everyone, fix managing and controlling everything, I completely forgot I had a disease. And so what did I do? I started to look for people who had what I wanted to hear. I started to talk about people. Do you really weigh and measure your food to the T? Close is good enough. You know, 3.2 versus 3 or 2.8, or, you know, it looks about right. I found those people in my group of friends and I started to gravitate towards them. So I did recovery by committee. I was getting other people to answer to me on what I knew in my heart was wrong, but people would corroborate with me, so it was okay. Did the same thing with how many meetings you go to, and is it okay not to turn on your camera, and is it okay to, you know, only sponsor one person? And I identified out rather than identified in. After 2 years, I was working a program of 9 steps. I worked through the first 9 steps. And I had arrived, just like Bill did in his story. I had it. I knew everything. Nobody could teach me anything. This was a done deal. The thought of doing daily inventory got to be so obnoxious to me because I knew my character defects and they got lesser and fewer as time went on. I didn't have time for prayer and meditation. I needed my sleep, or I would sit and, like, you know, play Wordle on my phone instead of being in my meditative state. But I always said that I was doing the things. I told everyone that I had it together, and the appearance was I had to have it together. And I didn't have anything together till finally I was a little bit here, a little bit there, starting to lie to my sponsor. And then the lies, the dishonesty for me, guys, grows. It just, once that starts, it's like a disease that, you know, like in the X-Files, that black stuff that starts oozing all over your body just starts happening to me, and I get really used to it. So a little bit more lying, and tomorrow I'm going to do it different. So tomorrow I'm going to clean up. I am going to clean up my stuff and get honest and be good. And nobody needs to know about this little kind of wobble period I had. And that went every day. That got more and more. Till finally, one day I was just like, I'm done. And I ate something I wasn't supposed to eat and had a field day. It was Super Bowl Sunday, 2023. And had to get really honest and say, what am I doing here? This is a serious disease. And I just was shown how serious it is and how quickly I can be out of it. So I started again with another sponsor and went through the steps again and really understand the powerlessness that I have over not just my food. The food is, you know, it is but a symptom. It's really my brain that has got the problem, and that I am powerless over people, places, and things. And I have to ask God every day for help, every day to tell me that I am His servant, that I am servant to other people and need to ask for direction. When I think that I have control, I'm in big trouble because I think I'm powerful. And, you know, I'm grateful every day that I wake up. And I used to be, you know, wake up and say, oh God, it's morning. Now I really say, good morning, God. I'm really excited to greet the day. I ask God to show me things instead of, thanks, I've got this. I'm on my own. You know, thank you. You got me up and I've got a food plan. I'm going to go on my own. But, and then what can I give to people instead of what I deserve? What is due me? I was always a do me person. I deserve to have this. I deserve to have that. And more is the story of my life. Never good enough, always wanting more, and always wanting what somebody else had. Jealousy and envy. just the top of my game, but also with the not wanting to do anything to get there, right? Close is good enough was my tune, and it still is. I have to be very close of saying, you know, I'm almost there and I can move on to something else. Today, I know that to live happy, joyous, and free, I have to follow through on commitments and do them completely. I can't do them half-assed. I can't do them close. They have to be done completely because God is close to me as long as I stay close to Him. And that's by doing what He wants me to do on a daily basis. You know, I heard on a meeting, I think the thing that's on my mind today is that complacency kills a relationship, and complacency killed my first run at entire abstinence in this program. And I know the person I am today will eat again. And I have to continually work this program every day, every step. And if I'm not doing step 11, I'm not doing any of the steps, right? If I'm not seeking through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with my higher power, I'm not working any steps. I'm starting to work for Nancy again, and I'm starting to get important and in charge. And what happens when that happens? The food starts calling a little bit louder, and yay, I might stay on my food plan. But I start thinking, oh, can I get the closes good enough? Can I find those buddies again? I know today that to sustain my program, my food is between me and my nutritionist, who I treat as my higher power. My sponsor does not get into my food. I deal with any type of changes with my nutritionist, and that is the only person I discuss food with. I don't let anybody else say, well, have you tried this or can you do that? Because that gets me into squishy territory. I have to make sure that I am in contact with my sponsor. You know, today I have a sponsor. She knows my name. I have many, many sponsees who also have sponsors. I have a home group, which is a Saturday morning Language of the Heart meeting out of Connecticut. And if any of you are up at 6:15 in the morning, which is later for you guys, it's a fantastic, very strong meeting. I'd suggest you look that up. And so people know me, but they know me now for being a compulsive overeater, not being the woman in charge of things, not being the one that's out there loud and proud. I used to work so hard at doing these talks and coming up with themes and quoting the big book. And I can't do that today, guys. All I can do is talk about myself. And I know that for this compulsive overeater, I need to stay close and connected. I need to work my program every morning, and I need to thank God every night and give all glory to Him for keeping me safe and protected and out of the food for a day at a time. The other way that that really helps me is by sponsoring. Every time I'm in the big book, I learn something new. Every time I realize that I cannot control anything and just have to accept life on life's terms. I hate that, man. My tapes, I have got such good stories that I wake up and this is what's going to happen today. And I'm going to go here and I'm going to go there. And then the thing called life and God come in and I go, oh, this is not the Nancy show. It's the God show. So how do I do that with God in the morning? It helps me to sit and think about my day and invite God into everything I have. You know, I still put everything in my calendar so I know, like I'm speaking here as God, please show me what I'm supposed to say. Please give me the words that I need to have. I'm working Meals on Wheels. After this, I go and do that community service. God, what do I need to see out of these people? Show me where I'm supposed to be. Doing things this afternoon, just really inviting Him into my whole day and then saying, it's your day. So you do what you do. Just let me show up and be open to changing directions from where I think myself little stage play should be. And that works very well. And then to thank Him that I did make it through the day without picking up and that I was of service and I did the best I could. Am I perfect? No, I'm not perfect. I'm nowhere close to perfect. And some days I have really bad days. But if I don't get the substance in my body, I've got a chance to really keep that channel open. I just thought of something else very important to say, and now I can't remember what it was. The other thing that is really important for me is acceptance, is accepting life on life's terms and really understanding that I am totally powerless over anything. I like to think of when I relapsed in 2023, I almost call it step nine and a half, that I got through the steps. I got through all the things where, you have to write, you have to say, you have to do. And those maintenance steps were like, oh, those are for other people. I'm unique. I'm special. I don't really need to do them. And I don't need to do them at the level that I'm hearing other people do it. I think they're lying about that to begin with, because who's spending all this time in prayer and meditation, and who's doing all this other stuff? They're not really doing it. And so I just stopped doing it. And that's exactly what got me out of fit spiritual condition, because if I'm not doing those maintenance steps, I'm not doing any steps. Pretty soon I've got the power. My character defects aren't as bad as yours. Plus, I need them to get ahead. And I completely forget that I have no control, that I'm really a servant of God, a child of God, which is another important thing for me, that I am equal to everyone else. I am not better than, I am not worse than. I am right in the middle where I'm supposed to be. And for me growing up, that was the worst place you could be. Pick yourself up by the bootstraps, Nancy. You can do everything. You have to take control of your life or you're not going to go anywhere. I had no idea what I needed to do. And God forbid if I'm going to ask somebody when I get those type of messages growing up. So I had to be the top of the heap, right? Now I know the safety is in the middle of the herd. Somebody said, in the middle of the herd, you don't get picked off. Like you're not the weakest one, or you're not the one way out all by yourself. You're kind of safe and protected. And that's where I like to be today. The feeling of being lost and alone when I was in relapse and when I was on my way out and having to hide and lie and just not be part of the universe really put me as an outlier, and I got picked off. So if anybody's in relapse, thinking of relapsing, coming back from relapse, stay in the middle of the herd. There is nothing better than being one among many. Nobody has a story any better or worse than mine. It's my story, but it is also relatable to everyone else. When I can talk and people can understand the insecurity and the fear and the angst I have of being one among many, that's where I belong. And then I'm not an outlier. I am one among many, and that's where God wants me to be today. If I want to have a chance to have the best life ever, I have to show up and just be shown what I need to do and be willing to take that. And it's not really so easy to do, because I like to think that I know what the next steps are going to be. I've had my wife has been with her very ill mother for a month in Washington, D.C., and I've been in Ann Arbor, and it's getting very trying. And I'm getting very self-centered about, excuse me, you have a life out here, and she's got a mom who's not going to be around much longer. And I have to go to God and ask for that protection every day to let me be a servant to her, not to get petty and self-centered and be like, what about me? But really be, what about you? How can I help you? And you know what? I don't know about you guys, but for me, that's new behavior, because damn it, what about me? And what about me? God knows about me, and he's taking care of me in other ways. I've been asked to go out. I've been asked to do things I have never done before. So I'm keeping busy. He's keeping me busy in unique ways that I never knew what would happen. But if I'm not in the program, if I'm not in fit spiritual condition, I don't see any of that. All I see is Kathy not coming home, instead of, oh, you went to a concert. No, you went to lunch with somebody else. And oh, you have an opportunity to do this. All of that I completely miss. If I'm not present, I miss God's presence. You know, that's why they call it being in the present. And if I want to live in fear, I'm not being in the moment. So I guess my story is, I've been all over the place here today. I don't know what I said, but I hope it was helpful to somebody. Is that
5 minutes, Nancy. Thank you so much.
thank you. Being able to realize that I am powerless over food, I'm powerless over people, places, and things, and that I am a servant to others is the best place that I can be, and know that I'm not alone. That I have a loving God who loves me. Not that Catholic, you know, I've got a checklist and you're not, never getting even to purgatory. There's no way you're getting anywhere. But that who loves me and who cares about me and is always there giving me things if I'm just open to seeing it. That's such a difference from being that petty, selfish, self-centered person that only thought about myself and what I could get, and always wanting more, and always wanting to be above you, hardly ever below you until I got kicked down, but really superior. And know that I knew more than anybody else. I don't know shit today. The only thing I know is that I show up, suit up, and then really ask for help from my higher power. So if I can, I know you guys know it, but I'd like to close with reading a big something that's very important to me in the big book. And now I've lost my page, so da 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 da. Okay, so perhaps the best, this is from page 420 in the big book, acceptance was the answer. Perhaps the best thing for all of me is to remember that my serenity is inversely proportional to my expectations. The higher my expectations of Max and other people are, the lower is my serenity. I can watch my serenity level rise when I discard my expectations, but then my rights to move to try to move in, and that they too can force my serenity level down. I have to discard my rights as well as my expectations by asking myself, how important is it really? How important is it compared to my serenity and my emotional sobriety? And where I place more value on my serenity and sobriety than on anything else, I can maintain them at a higher level, at least for the time being. Acceptance is the key to my relationship with God today. I never just sit and do nothing while waiting for Him to tell me what to do. Rather, I do whatever is in front of me to be done and leave the rest up to Him. However it turns out, that's God's will for me. I must keep my magnifying mind on my acceptance and off my expectations, for my serenity is directly proportional to my level of acceptance. When I remember this, I can see that I have never had it so good. Thank God for AA. And with that, I pass. Thanks, guys.